Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week, we're going to be talking about the ripple effects of breast cancer.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word. So if you don't like your children hearing those words, you might want to put your AirPods, buds, whatever, headphones, whatever you do. But if you like them to hear it, because that's the real world, that's fine too. Up to you. We just have to give a language warning. Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
It's actually sunny today in Melbourne.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Sunshine on my hairy legs.
Yeah. We're still locked down, so.
I know. I'm like, should I shave? Nah.
I mean, who's seeing it?
Oh, just you.
I know. So anyway, hi Peas. We're back for another Snap Pea. Very excited to be back with you.
Yes.
We're still surviving lockdown. Yeah. Who knows when it's going to end? We're just waiting on Dan.
Oh, gee.
Waiting on those numbers. Yep. If you don't live in Melbourne, I know you don't care, but
we really care.
Yeah.
We're like a little island here.
It really is. It's like we're not even part of Australia anymore.
It's so odd.
I see people's videos, like Instagram, like, what do you mean you're at the beach? What do you mean you're having drinks with friends? Where are you from?
It's unbelievable.
It is.
Yeah.
Anyway, we will get there somehow. I'm sick of saying that, but anyway, it's only been 6 months. Anyway, but today we're pretty excited to have two guests.
Yes.
They are sisters. And I'm going to just throw over to them and ask them to introduce themselves and tell us why they are peas.
Hi, my name's Liz. I'm a pea. I have a son who is on the spectrum and has ADD. Mm-hmm. And I'm Felicity, and I have two boys and a daughter, but the two boys have ADD and ODD and spectrum, on the spectrum. Aww, so a few things.
Yeah.
And I also have a daughter who would now kill me if I didn't say it. So my sister made me look bad already.
That's okay.
Sorry, I acknowledge all my children.
You don't want the wrath of a daughter.
No. And if you're anything like our households, she probably has to come second a few times. So sorry.
They're actually used to it, I think.
Yeah. I think they are. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Apparently it will make them stronger. We'll tell them.
Yeah. Well, we're still waiting for that.
Boy.
Anyway, we're really excited to get you on today because not only are you amazing pea parents, but you've got a really amazing breast cancer story. And for those of us that live in Australia, you'll know that Baker's Delight do their pink bun campaign for October. And I must say my boys, Buzz and Woody, we love those pink buns.
Oh, love them.
Love them. We go all the time to get them. And because I don't think there's many people that aren't touched by breast cancer. I mean, my story is not like yours, but my favourite aunt passed away from breast cancer, and one of my twins has her name as his middle name, so that we get to have some of her living on in our family every day. But we would like to throw over to you to tell us the story of your family.
Sure. Okay. I'll let Liz do the honors because she was the one that actually went through the full breast cancer. Mom, sort of a pretend version, but I'll give her this honour.
It's your moment.
Yep.
Yeah, this is her final moment. She hasn't had many, so you know, I'm just trying it.
Shine away.
I thought I'd have to get, she'd have to get breast cancer. It's insidious to get my moment. Yeah. in terms of, we actually grew up with breast cancer being part of our lives because our mum was diagnosed when we were five. Well, I was five. We often refer to ourselves as we.
Yeah.
So when I was five and Felice was three, and we've also got three siblings, boys, brothers. Right. And then she, well, not that we remember that vividly, except her threatening to not wear a wig a few times when we were naughty and we'd be embarrassed to say, don't. Or her boob would be floating in the bath, her prosthesis, because she'd be giving it a wash. And our friends often say, I remember I used to come over and, like, see this thing on the washing machine, and, you know, one of our brother's friends picked it up one day and thought it was like a sandbag, a hacky sack thing. And then my brother walked in and said, why are you throwing my mum's boob around? And anyway, so we had quite a good fun times. But anyway, mum then was 9 years later got metastases, and then 3 years after that passed away. Mm. So when we were 18 and 16, and so we were kind of always, breast cancer, part of our lives, and we were always, we'll be diligent, check, because, it was odd that mum got it at 36 years old that sort of thing. So we kind of always just, been good. And I think I honestly thought, we're not going to get it. We're not going to be that unlucky. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. We can't have a mum die when we're young and then we get it.
Yes. But we did go to a specialist and say, can we get a test? And they just said, look, we think it has to be in your genealogy, and your mum is just a random unlucky. Right. So we just think she was unlucky. So you just have to be as diligent as anybody else. So don't think that you're going to get it. So we were all right, who cares?
Wow. And then fast forward. I'd actually had a lump removed when I was about 21, but again, it was like, it was more precautionary, it wasn't like, we think it's this, but let's just give you history, take it out, and then, fast forward to my daughter was 2 years old and my son was 8 months old, and I'd finished breastfeeding, and I was sort of, when you think your boobs are so lumpy when you breastfeed, and I was like, this will just be another lump. It must be a milk duct, or it's probably something like that. But, I kind of thought, I was going anyway to the doctor, and I said, while I'm here, can you just check? He said, I can feel something, but now go and have a mammogram and an ultrasound, because you haven't had one yet, and now that you've finished breastfeeding, we might as well do it. And so I booked in to do that, and it's like, and as I had before when I'd done ultrasounds, you think, are they looking at that too long? Why are they taking this? No. But I'm like, no, this is ridiculous. They've done this 50 times before,
And I'm 36.
And I'm 36, And I had my best friend's wedding to go to in Byron the next day, so I was like, I don't have time.
And you breastfeed.
Don't
people tell you when you breastfeed there's less chance, so you've done all those things?
And I was just like, anyway, as I got up to leave, they said, have you got an appointment with your doctor? You need to call them. And I'm like, and they'd never said that before. They usually said, you've got a follow-up appointment, next week. Okay, great. Here you go. And they said, you need to call them within half an hour.
Oh,
and
I was God.
Like, oh, my God. But I went home to Felice, who was looking after my kids, and said, Felice goes, how'd you go? And I said, they told me to call the doctor. And she goes, what do you mean? And I go, I'm sure it's nothing. Felice is like, I just can picture us looking at each other. Yeah. Anyway, I called my GP and I said, how they can't disclose anything, but she'd actually been my mum's doctor. No. And she'd said, look, Lizzie, because she still called me Lizzie because I was a child when I used to see her. And I'm like, my name's not Lizzie anymore, but that's okay. she said, listen, they're just concerned with what they've seen. You need to go and see the breast surgeon. And I said, I can't. I'm going to Byron tomorrow. I can't. I mean, I can, but, And I said, can I wait a week? And she's like, you have to get an appointment next week. And so I came back, and on the Friday, my husband and he said, I'll come with you. And he was working in Geelong at this stage. And I said, don't worry about it. I'm sure it's just going to be if it's just, they'll just cut it out if it's something. I don't know why. It was almost naive bliss, to be honest.
Yeah. But,
and my husband was running late, and I went in and sat down with the breast surgeon. She said, "Hey, well, you've got breast cancer." And I was like, "Oh." And she said, "And I've booked you in. You're going to have a mastectomy next week." And I said, "Oh, okay. Well, can I have both off? Because I don't want, you know." And she's like, "Oh." I said, "Because, you know, I just want to get them off then, if that's the case." And anyway, so I'm just sitting there and I'm like, "Okay, so what do I need to do? I just want to complete practical, pragmatic."
Yes.
I was probably in shock, to be honest.
Yes.
And my husband walked in and he sat down and she said, "Oh, Chris, I'm just going to catch you up. Liz has got breast cancer." And he kind of looked at me and I was just sort of sitting there, not smiling, just sort of blank. And he sort of tears welled up in his eyes and that made me sad. So I was like, "Oh, don't cry."
Yeah.
And then I sort of started to cry and the doctor said, "Okay, I'm glad this is actually registering with you," because I was concerned you didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah.
And anyway, then from that, you know, I had the mastectomy a couple of weeks later and then I went into full, "Oh, this sucks because now I want to have a third child."
Yeah.
That was my plan. And so I got day released from the hospital. I was able to go and see the Melbourne IVF. And so I hopped off in my drain bags in each bag.
And that must have been painful.
Because I had to get that done before chemo.
Yes.
Because they wouldn't let me, you know. So within that 3 weeks of, and it spread. Sorry, it had gone to one of my lymph nodes. So I had to go back into surgery and then come back out. And then we went and, so I quickly did the IVF in those 3 weeks.
You say that so offhand.
Yeah.
I just quickly popped down, had some IVF, had a wine, went back to hospital.
Desperate things, myself, don't you?
Got some embryos and popped them in the freezer and then
on top of the sausages, you know.
And then started chemo and did that for 4 months and then did radiation for 5 weeks every day and then you had more Herceptin and other drugs for basically over the year.
Right.
And then it was done.
And how sick were you with the chemo?
You've never been sicker in your
life. I've never been sicker.
Yes.
It was, and we're pretty tough.
Too bad. I think you are pretty tough.
You know, you grew up with, you know, if you're, your neck better be broken if you're screaming.
Yes.
Sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, we grew up in a household where if you had a sore leg, well, you've got another one to do.
And I got infections and, it wasn't a great time.
No.
But I always knew it was going to end and I, you know, so I was just, it was a shit time in my life, to be honest.
Where were the kids?
How old were your kids at that point?
Well, 2.5 and 8 months.
My goodness.
I'm jumping, but in terms of the ripple effect, you know, the support I had during that time with, you know, I couldn't have had more meals. Like, you know, I couldn't have had more people to do things. It was just, I was so lucky.
Mm.
And, you know, that turned then into, you know, Flick said, Felizabeth, as we often get called. Flick said, you know, "I'm going to shave my head," because obviously I lost all my hair. And her best friend, Tani, who, you know, who's like another sister to me, said, "I'm going to do it too." And Felicity said, "But I want to like raise money for something, for cancer. So, you know, it's a waste to, you know, not do it." But, you know, and then we kind of thought, okay, but what charity, you know, a lot of charities get money and whatever. And my husband and I, you know, sort of had a think and said, you know, because we're so lucky, you know, imagine going through this and having no support you know, my first thought wasn't, how am I going to afford this?
Yes.
It was, oh, this is going to be terrible. But, you know, and then I was speaking to a psych at the hospital who does the rounds when you're having chemo and sort of has a chat to you. And she said, you know, the first thing most people worry about is financial. And I thought, oh, my God. And so we looked up a charity and found this charity, which I don't think any longer exists, but it was called Stand By You, and they just provided short-term financial support to people who had cancer.
Yeah,
right. But so, as in like pay your
like
gas
pay your gas bill.
Yeah, yeah, practical stuff. Yeah,
really, really simple things that
just a mate that means, you know, it just helps someone in such a shocking time.
Yes,
and so we then ran a charity night and raised for Felicity's shaving her head. And the first one we made $70,000.
$50,000.
Wow. And then the next one we made it was called Let Your Hair Out.
Oh. Yeah,
so that kind of kept me busy during that, you know, you're having a downward.
It's a distraction. Really.
And, you know, it was awesome as well. Mm. Like, you know, to be surrounded by so many people that had to come because they would be a-holes if they didn't turn up to my charity.
Yes.
but no, and also wanted to be there. But so
and it's overwhelming and then, how generous people are, isn't it?
It does show, you know, you just think, God, so lucky to be surrounded by love when that is.
And there's nothing worse when you're the person who isn't affected and you don't know what you can bloody do.
Yeah.
And then when someone says you can do this, you're like, yes, I'm there with bells on. Yeah.
I know. But I remember my dad saying, even with mum, like, you know, my good friend's mum passed away a couple of years after our mum died. And I said, oh, Dad, I don't know what to do. Like, I mean, apart from obviously be there to support her, but I said, I don't know what to do, or people are asking, you know. And he said, Lizzie, the best thing people can do is, rather than ask, what can I just do something? Because you're never going to say to yourself, can you mow my lawn?
Yes. Like,
you know,
he's so right.
You know, we don't like to be martyrs, I don't think.
No,
like,
we
say
that
and,
all the
know,
time.
So, so that's kind of been, you know, a lesson that I've learned from that. Just go, you know, no one's going to say, God, you're an asshole for dropping a meal off. Like, you know,
no, they're not.
You just do it.
That's actually, it's a really big thing, because people constantly message like our podcast or the Instagram, and they're like, oh, my friend's child just got diagnosed with a life-ending illness, or you know, whatever, what do I do? And we just always say, you go do something. Yeah, you mow their lawn, you say, I'm picking your daughter up for netball next week. Like, you just tell them what you're going to do. They'll tell you if they don't want it, but for the most part they'll just say, thank God.
And it was almost like during the time when Liz was sick, I almost became like a PR manager, where people would contact me, which is good, because like it's almost good to have somebody who's not in the house, you know, dealing with it. You know, her husband was dealing with the kids and her being sick, and so I was just like fielding phone calls, directing people, you know, what they could do, rather than going directly to the family.
It's a full-time job, actually.
And then I'd just provide one update to everybody, so that then there wasn't people, oh, how are you going? And anyway, so I made it about me.
Good.
So then,
just to continue our story, then so Liz got better, thankfully, and we then went, because we were able to get a test for the BRCA1, BRCA2 gene, which are the only ones they know of. We went back to the surgeon and said, well, now that we know that we've got two in our genealogy, both who have got it at 36 years old, can we now qualify to get tested? And they said, yep. So we got the test and we didn't have the gene.
Oh.
And so we said, oh, well, and they said, look, we just think you've got a gene, obviously.
Yes.
Because
something's going wrong, but we don't know what it is yet. So,
yes.
And I said, so what do I do? And they said, well, you could get an elective double mastectomy, or you can go and get ultrasounds and mammograms and whatever.
Every alternate.
And I just had another baby as well, my third baby. So I was like, still breastfeeding.
Yes.
So I'll just go and do ultrasounds and mammograms and whatever. And then I started doing them. And then I was like, oh, this is annoying, because the only time they're going to be able to tell me that is once I've got something.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's going to be preventative. It's not preventative. Yeah. It's actually, this is pointless. It's just to try to get it early rather than getting it before it. So then I decided to just have a double mastectomy, because I'd breastfed three babies and my boobs were down to my knees anyway. So I was like, oh, this is, you know, what's the point? And I'd seen Liz's and I was like, well, stuff this. So I'm getting that done. And so I got so I decided to have a double mastectomy, so I was 36 as well, coincidentally.
Yeah.
And got had an ultrasound on the Thursday to see if I had any cancer. They said, nah, good to go. On the Tuesday, I had the mastectomy, and when the pathology came back, I did have cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was in the duct So the ultrasound hadn't picked it up. So even if I had have kept doing that, I wouldn't have picked it up anyway by the time it became invasive, and then I would have been in the same situation as Liz. So in that sense, it was really lucky that I did it when I did. And but obviously we all got it at 36 in that sense. So there's some bad thing happening there. And then that just means that also our kids hopefully don't have to we'll have to make decisions that we've got some gene in us that doesn't let up. So they're gonna have to probably look at and see what they can do about it. But
And then, I know you quite flippantly just said I just went and had a mastectomy and a reconstruction, but isn't that a massive ordeal?
Well, it is. I mean, we shouldn't say for me, me, it wasn't. Because as I say, I didn't I'm very sort of if practical, I don't know if the practical is right, but I'll end up going into the you have to see a psych before you do it. Everybody does, even if you like Liz had to see one as well, even though her wasn't she was medically required.
That was the
IVF. No, I had to see a psych and I went in and she said, now, you know, this is, you know, a very big decision. I was like, oh yeah, no, I don't really care. And she's like, what about your husband though? What, you know, what about if he says he doesn't, you know, he doesn't want you to do it? And I said, well, he can get fucked because I don't care with him. And she said, oh, but what about if you get it done and he doesn't like the way they look? And I said, well, he can get fucked. I don't care. Yeah. You know, he can go away.
Yeah.
If he would prefer me to have nice, well, I didn't think they were nice anyway, but nice food and,
that's right.
And be dead, well, then he's good.
They look nice and
they'll look lovely in the casket. So, so for me it wasn't, but I shouldn't flippantly say it's like it isn't a big decision for a lot of people. But we grew up with a mum that only ever had one boob. You know, so.
And it's part of your family story.
Stuck in your life.
And I had kids. I was married.
I wasn't. It was the perfect time.
To do it. I'd made peace with. I'm never going to look good in a bikini. Well before I'd needed to get my boobs chopped off.
Yeah, so, and it, and know, it becomes life-saving. There's, you know, I can see how there's, it's a sobering thing. I choose to live or I choose to do this.
That's right.
And I think, you know, as Liz said, if, you, if you're 22 or 23, you're still, you don't know, you're still growing.
You don't know who you are.
I mean, that is just a completely different decision to what I make, because they do have options to say, well, you can keep monitoring or you can get a lumpectomy, which might be an option because they don't want to get their whole boob off. So, and fair enough. It's completely different.
And I do think in terms of it is big surgery, but there's different – we did – like there's different types. Like you can – what we did was implants.
Yes.
So literally remove it and implant, you know, tissue expanders, then you go back and have another surgery and have the proper implants put in. Whereas there's other longer surgeries that, you know, they take the back of your back and muscles. Right. And so, it just, you know, that's quite, so.
And you can get of, like the your stomach redone. And when I went in there, I said, oh, what about this stomach one? And she goes, oh, you need to have enough fat on your stomach to be able to do it. And she basically like within 1 second goes, you'll be fine. You've got heaps. You'll be fine.
But then the then for Liz, after she'd had her mastectomy and then was going back for her second, you know, to put the implants in, I was due to have my your surgeries, like I might just, you know, to fix something, nothing to do with illness, but more aesthetics. And so we were like, God, let's go in together. And so we both had the same surgeons and plastic surgeons. So we said, obviously we booked together, but like we said, you know, we were one after the other. And then we rang the hospital and we're like, can we please request to have a room together? And they're like, we were like, people would bring, the nurses would come in and go, now these are the sisters.
Yeah. Like introducing us to people.
And we did get in trouble for being a bit loud.
Oh, yeah, we did get in trouble for being loud.
They're like, girls, there are some very sick people in here. We're like, sorry. But I was staying in a hotel. We were away from our children. We had, like, room service. And we'd go, what are we going to watch today? And we'd both, like, put our headphones on and watch it in the sink.
That's amazing.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I mean, now that'd be a holiday because you're locked in, locked out of Melbourne.
Finally, I've got breast cancer now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
My my twins had surgery together when they were six. They both have a hemiplegia, cerebral palsy, and so we decided to send them in at the same time so one didn't have to watch the other one. So I have my own picture of sisters having surgery at the same time. And for me as the mum, that just meant it was so much easier because we could just get every bit of support pumped into our family at the one time.
Yeah.
Do you think that similar or?
I mean, mine was different as well because I wasn't sick. You know, Liz was sick.
Yeah.
You know, so she obviously I can't speak to I didn't have to have.
Well, you needed help because you went out of lift.
Oh, that sort of stuff.
Because you're not out of lift for 6 weeks. So when you've got babies, it's really hard.
People were just amazing, you know, to us. So, you know.
Very lucky.
You're probably not just lucky. I mean, you're probably actually quite nice people yourself. I don't know you.
Yeah, we're not bad.
But I think that, you are. I mean, we are lucky. We're lucky to live in Australia. We're lucky to live in Melbourne. We're lucky to have good healthcare. And we have a lot of listeners in America and they're overwhelmed by what we get in this country, and all of the supports, the NDIS, everything that's available to us. But also, I think you're probably pretty awesome, so people were happy to help out. But saying that, if you know someone through the grapevine and you don't know if they have a lot of support, then fucking support them because it's a very lonely time.
Yes.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I imagine.
And there's all sorts of things set up, you know, like Meal Train, that, you know, the app site that you can sign up to. It's so easy to coordinate.
Yes,
help. It is. You don't have an excuse not to. No, it's 2 seconds.
You really don't.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah.
Especially at the moment, everyone's at home.
That's right. And on the Meal Train, you can see where the lasagnas are set so that you don't give them
27 lasagnas.
We've got a lot of shepherd's pie.
See?
Lasagna.
Yes.
Yeah. So I've talked about this before too when our babies were born premature and I had a lot of lasagnas. And then afterwards I decided when I give a meal, it's going to be no mince. I have a no mince policy.
I mean, you're grateful.
I'm grateful.
I know. Liz did take a list of this is what Liz doesn't like to eat because I'm the most annoying person.
Yeah.
I like chicken, but I only like chicken breast.
I'm the same.
You're not really up for thigh.
Oh, my God.
I'm not really a fan of thigh.
No, I like the chicken breast. It's the best.
It's great.
It is great.
I know. I don't love it either. That's the truth.
Know. And then you get a drumstick and you're like, this is all bone. I don't understand why people like this.
It's breast is best. That's the next
BCNA. Oh, my goodness.
And so amidst all of this, when were your children diagnosed?
Mine was diagnosed post. So mine, when he was probably like 3.5, 4.
Right.
I mean, he was already, you know.
Yes.
It's like one of those things that takes forever that I feel like as a mum you have a instinct and you're like, no, I don't think that's just a
learning yes. thing. I don't think it's just a speech thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but yeah. you kind of, as you guys would know, you kind of got to go through
yeah.
all those processes because, yes, I'm sure sometimes it is, they, yes. you know,
yeah,
the is. Doctors are right. You
yeah, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, amazing.
Medical degrees. Well, you know, it's so smug. I'd already done the Googling. I knew I was up yeah.
there. Can you imagine being a doctor in this day and age?
Oh,
I mean, we are painful.
We are painful.
Oh, but I do now go in there, full disclosure, and go, I'm not going to lie to you, I have Googled
yes.
this.
Yes.
And I think it's this, yeah. and I know that I probably need to be prescribed this, but I'm happy yes. to take on your opinion as well.
Yeah, but I feel like as soon as you write in sore neck, it comes up with cancer yeah. every time. Like,
it oh, does.
I've been medicating that, yeah.
But yes. when you've been in the medical system for a long time, you get ballsy about talking about
oh,
it. You
yes.
know, it's not, you're not yeah. timid.
No.
You've saved your lives. There's no mucking yeah. around.
You don't want to yeah, waste anyone's time.
I was walking around the hospital reading
people's charts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure the nurses loved you. You could be in the new Grey's Anatomy because you know all the medical
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
The country that practice reboot.
Yeah.
Too far. And did you?
And then,
yeah,
oh,
yes, you go.
Diagnosed when he was about three. My first son wasn't, well, I had been banging down the paediatrician's door yes. since yep. he was three,
yep.
saying, I'm sorry, but I'm not, you know, there is yep. There's an issue here.
Yep.
And I'm, you know, I'm pretty pragmatic. I, you know, I was sort of like, you know, it is what it is. I don't, I'm not worried.
No.
You know, for you to tell me, you just tell me. I don't care. So I just want to get on.
It just yes. gives us better options in life. Yeah. We just need to know. Yeah, yeah. that's right.
And they'd say, oh, no. And I'm like, oh. And then people would go, I don't see what the problem is. He's fine for me. And you're thinking, oh, whatever. Like, you spend 5 minutes with him when he's not fine and then you'll
yes.
know.
Yes, yes.
And so then they wouldn't give me a diagnosis till he was five and pretty much the day he turned five I was standing at the paediatrician's door going, come on, right, let's do this.
Yeah.
And then they diagnosed him. And then this, and so then obviously with another one I could see similar traits and I was yes. like, nah, I know this system. But
yes.
the funniest bit was Liz and I, when Liz's son got diagnosed, we were like, oh, it's to her husband at the time, it's definitely your side of the family. None of it in our
We'll take the boobs. Everything else is you.
And then when mine got diagnosed, we were like, oh, shit. Where's the link? It's our family. Oh,
and
no.
then we started to look at all our, like, older
cousins,
you know, family members, and going, oh,
yeah.
my God, he's
totally
on
the
yes.
I have done similar things.
Yes.
The big
yes.
family reunion, some of my cousins are like, oh, right, yeah. now we understand.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. yeah.
Because
yeah.
actually, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't
just makes
matter.
The world
no,
a really
I
cool,
know.
Interesting yeah. place. It's just that school's fucked.
Yeah.
But everything
yes,
else is
correct.
Fine.
Yes.
So we
well,
need...
it's become really obvious to me, particularly because yeah. my son goes to a special school
yep.
to help him. But now yep. with his son, it's become really evident that he needs different things
yes.
than what that can give him. Because before I sort of blindly sort of went, oh, well, it's a special school.
Because he started off.
He started in mainstream.
Yes.
And I ultimately want to get him back to mainstream.
Yes.
But, you know, but that said, I don't care if he goes to a
yeah,
whatever school, you're
no.
special, nice, great, whatever the word is. I don't care where he goes. It's got to be somewhere that he can be he can be happy and be the
yes.
best he can be.
It's
whatever
really
that
hard
is,
to find them.
It's really
I
hard.
Know, I know. There's such a gap in the
market.
Huge gap. We just want to start a new school.
Yeah.
A few schools
yeah.
that
well,
have.
I've talked about it with other
yeah.
mums.
Yeah.
Start a new school. Or the other thing, if anyone wants a new career path out there, being a person that advises you.
Oh, we've talked
school,
about this
I've
too. Yeah. You
can't,
can't
find
it.
That
no, you can't. And there are
that's
and
a business. That's a business
different.
That would be
I know,
booming.
It's such a, yeah, there's no.
It is a yeah.
And even on paper, these schools say things, but it's not until your
yes.
child is actually in there, and then how do they react? It's
yes.
very
yes.
tricky.
Yes.
It's really, really hard.
We
and
really
then you
know.
You listen to all the prus and trudes going, oh, I just want a school that has accelerated whatever, and you're like, fuck off.
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You poor
oh.
thing. What an issue.
Oh my god!
And I think you can tell. Like, I don't give a shit what the facilities like. No, I don't care if you've got the biggest oval in the world. It's not going to make the world different to my kid because he'll be like, why would I go in the oval?
I don't touch grass.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
100%. And I just think the more little voices that are out there, hopefully change will come because enough is enough. All children deserve the same
chance.
And I
think the other thing I find, sorry to keep going on, but is also the difficulty in, you know, my son's 8. How do I know what he's going to be like when he's 12 or 15? Or, you know, like, so it's so hard to make a decision based on, you know, such a long time away.
Yeah,
you know.
We just need some more different schools. We just need
diversity
in education. How hard is it? It'd be overflowing as well.
I do hope that, I mean, and obviously I'm not a, like, and haven't done an extensive amount of research in this, but, you know, given that, you know, obviously there's a lot more people, children that are being diagnosed compared to 20 years ago, which is a great thing because, you know, and then we can have early intervention and all that sort of stuff. Surely there's got to be, there will be a catch up in, okay, now there's got to be the infrastructure to support that, like schools that are now going to go, oh, well, we need to sell like that now because we have this group of people that need that. Whereas before, they were just the naughty kid at school.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Or that kid, you know, growing in primary school, I'm sure we had people. But
of course we did.
He's naughty, but he probably was ADHD and he needed some medication and some help. Like, you know, whereas, or, you know, the kid on the spectrum that can't make, you know, have friendships, it'd be like, oh, they're just a loner by themselves. You know, like,
I can picture them myself. I can remember back in the 80s, you know. It haunts me actually.
But the other sad thing is, as well, is that these I've spoken to teachers in like my kids' mainstream school. They're not trained as part of their,
not at all.
Their bachelor degree in
not
differences
at all.
In children's medical. So how the hell is some girl, you know, girl or boy coming out of uni doing their second year teaching supposed to deal with my OBD kid? I mean,
it's brutal.
Actually huge discrimination, and it's an ableist society that has got this education system going, and there's not enough people dissenting. So Mandy and I are constantly dissenting, and the people that come on our, in a nice way, you know, that come on our podcast. Yeah. But I'll give, I think it's Deakin Uni, a shout out. They get their students to listen to our podcast. They're teaching students, and they're like, this is actually what you need to know. But really it shouldn't be up to a couple of suburban mums. There should be educators that are actually teaching them proper things, not just anecdotes that we're talking about.
You know, the idea was that the placement that they did, here I am changing.
Go for it.
This is how it goes.
James Molino's listening.
He's not.
But, yeah, you know, even if part of their you know, they do placements in schools. Yeah, but make one of them at a special needs school.
It has to be
mainstream. Or
everyone should go to
you have to do that
special
unit.
Education.
Yeah.
Everyone
it should be a semester.
And what I want for that is that then some uni students go, actually, I want to work in that field so that we're not having.
You've got people that are passionate about it.
You want people that are passionate, right?
Yes.
And how do they know if they haven't experienced it?
That's right.
Exactly.
Because actually our kids are delightful.
And amazing.
And funny.
Yes.
So funny. They're tricky and they're funny.
I've got all of it.
And they're honest.
I've got a grey hair that goes and picks up my son, and he says, I love going to that school.
Yes.
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
He's being wacky.
Yes, and they finally tell the truth.
That's right.
Yes.
You know, we live in this society where no one tells the truth.
And they're hidden away. And that's not fair.
No, it's not fair because they're the most awesome people. And that's what Mandy and I say to people. If all of your kids are neurotypical, you're just missing out.
Yeah.
Or they don't have a disability. You're not in our club and you can't get in.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You can't sit with us.
I look down on people with neurotypical.
You have children that don't have problems.
Oh, my God. Your kids are overachieving. Hey, that's great. You must be really disappointed.
They sit still?
Oh.
Oh, no, it's funny. You have to sort of come up with that to sort of get through, don't you?
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You have to have that humour.
Being a corner in a ball, crying.
Yeah,
you do. But then I do actually feel a little bit sorry for our friends who have got neurotypical kids because we're always talking about our kids and they feel bad even saying anything
tricky.
Oh, I'm just worried about her. She just seems to do this. And then I'll go, not that it's anything like yours.
I have that all.
Yeah. I like to have
Yeah, no, right. Everyone. Yeah. Parenting is tricky.
It's tricky.
Doesn't matter if you get the dream child or a child that's really stubborn or whatever. It's tricky.
Yep.
And that's another thing. We actually all have times that our kids are tricky, so that's why we can all be united, you know.
And also we might have family members with disabilities or family members going through breast cancer treatment or, you know, every family sort of got something tricky, touched by something.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And you guys just got the double whammo. You got both.
Yeah, well, we won the jackpot.
Yeah, you did. You really did. But luckily for you, and probably because you're lovely, you've got beautiful people in your life. So we know that a few people that listen to our podcast, you know, live in rural Australia or are newly diagnosed and they don't have that. So that's why we're just so glad to be doing this, to talking to people like you and to letting everyone know that there's all different shades of family life and we're all in it. You know, it doesn't matter what – no one looks like an Instagram family. No one.
No.
No. That's rubbish.
And we don't follow them anyway.
We don't.
Oh, God. Don't get us started on that. No, we do follow them just to send them to each other. And
That is the most truth.
That's the truth.
It'd be sad if they stopped.
No, it's annoyed me, and I'm hoping I'll keep this in the podcast. We'll see that during Melbourne lockdown, all these amazingly skinny, beautiful celebrity mums have been given all this free fucking stuff, like meals and cocktails and toys. And I'm like, there are people out there, single mums, struggling, and I hope these influencers pass some of that stuff on because.
Oh, do you think?
No, I don't. But I think it's wrong. Because,
but that's the point. The thing, isn't it, that the world is unfair. The life
yes,
is
that's
unfair.
Right. Yeah. That
I'm
is
not
true
that in a negative way, but
no,
it just
you're right.
Is like, you know, the fact that Liz got cancer at 36 is not
unfair.
Fair.
No, it's
the
not.
Fact that our mum died.
Yeah,
our mum
died
is not fair. But you know, but then we always were grown up to say that you know, mum always like, there's always somebody worse off than you.
Yeah.
So we've always been so sort of like, you know, grateful for everything we have because our glass is definitely helpful. Yeah, because it,
which is
you know,
a better way.
It is a better way.
Yeah.
And look, and I do think one of the gifts that came out of, if I can call it a gift, but, you know, that experience was it really made me go, and not that I was a particular, I was always a positive person anyway.
Yeah.
But it just made you go, oh my God, life, you could be dead tomorrow.
Like
you just got to
enjoy it.
Can't sweat the small stuff. Like, you know, and put all your, don't like put, you've got to just put all your energy into the people you love, like,
so
and the kids you joy. Because, you know, it's just such a waste of, you know, they're oxygen thieves. Like, you don't give them that. Like, you know, and I think that did help. Probably change my perspective on a few other things in life. You know,
you've had a second chance
relationships
to live.
And people, and
you
that
get
sort of
a
thing.
Real
so,
clarity
you know,
that probably the rest of us haven't had.
No, it's a second chance to live your life.
Yeah.
So how do you want to do it?
I'm going to be a know-it-all for the next 50 years, telling everyone.
Melbourne's own Oprah.
I'll be like, she's got. You get a car. You get a car.
Great. Anyway, but and like disability, breast cancer does have that. We'll bring it back to that big ripple effect. So your family, it's quite a big ripple. Your mum, both of you, and now you have children. And did it affect your brothers or not?
As in, like, if they had it physically?
Yeah, like
or?
I know some people, some males, get breast cancer as well, don't they?
No, they have not that we know of. And again, because we can't test because we don't have a gene.
Of course.
And it dilutes 50%. It doesn't dilute as it goes down the generation. So just because we had it, the boys are just as likely to have it as we have.
Right.
And then our next generation as well. So, I mean, obviously for men it's a bit more taboo or they don't, you know, it's not something that they think to check. Necessarily, but I don't know. I've never actually asked our brothers if they check. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Well, now I feel bad. We better check.
Kate,
we'll bring them after we get here.
Okay, okay.
I'm going to ring them. We'll just put on a podcast. You need to check your breath. There's two women said to touch your breath.
Check your man boobs, boys.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So we think they're okay. But then, you know, they've gone on to have daughters.
Yeah, yes, two of them that's have right.
And even the other, another one has sons. So, you know, it's just going to be an ongoing thing that, you know, they'll just have to. They'll just have to keep
be
up with
really
it.
Aware of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And keep getting checked. And so.
And even my daughter has said, you know, it has actually came out while we were doing the Pink Bun Pan campaign.
Yep.
And we, they were sort of asking the kids, because they were in some photo shots as well.
Gorgeous.
Oh, well, they just were like, are we going to get like our own like makeup and. And it was like, you know, hey, all your kids are now just YouTubers. Like, Tommy will walk to us and go, okay, guys, come with me. I'm like, who are you talking to? And he's like, oh, I'm a YouTuber. And he's like, I just hold his iPad up. And I'm like, oh my God.
Our kids are so addicted. My six-year-old kids now said, come on, we're going somewhere special. And he goes, oh, my God, are we going to Walmart? I go, no, we're not going to Walmart.
I've been hearing a lot about dog anxiety this week from my nine-year-old. Yeah, she's like, dogs need a routine, mum. Because if they don't have a routine, they get anxiety. I learned that today.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay, right.
This is all I need.
Yeah, that's all I need.
Another thing I've got to take on. Yeah, another thing to worry about. Another member in my family I'm not going to, you know.
Not going to be giving everything to.
But my daughter had said when we were doing the, you know, the interview and she said, you know, and they said, oh, how does it affect you? And she said, oh, well, you know, even though she obviously never met our mum, but she said, you know, well, my nan had it and my mum had it. I'm scared that I might get it. And I was like, 10.
Oh,
and,
you know,
and you know how they come out with that stuff and then you're like, oh, my God, you never told me that. I feel so bad. Yes. Like, you know, don't worry, you know. And you just think, oh, if her little mind's thinking about it. Yes. You know, whereas Tommy was just too obsessed with,
Tommy was saying, does anyone want my autograph?
Yeah. And then he said, oh. And then after taking lots of photos, he said, oh, God, it's so hard being famous. And I'm like, I said, oh, go back to your trailer.
Oh, they sound awesome.
Yeah, it does have that effect.
Yeah, it does. It's, I would think about it, I think, a lot if I was in your position. You know, I think all women think about it.
Yes.
And then, even much more magnified when it's been your mum and yourself.
Yeah.
And then having children, obviously, again, shout out to Alice. This is, but having children like, you know, Tommy and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I do think, you know, God, imagine if this came back and.
Yeah, who's going to look after
him? It would be, unfortunately, terminal if it did come back. I mean, it doesn't mean you'd die straight away, but it would, you can't. You can't beat it in that way.
Yeah.
Or you can't can't be cured from it. You know, I just look at Tommy sometimes and go, oh my God. What about when he's 20 if I'm not here? I mean, not that my husband's not amazing, but like
you know,
kids need their mum.
Yep.
And we're like their protectors.
Yes.
And you know,
it's
and
the
I
biggest
worry
thing
that
mums worry about
high school,
with
you know,
and you've got that.
Yeah, real reason to worry. Yeah. And you've lost your mum, so you know what it feels like. It's shit to lose a parent.
Exactly. And we probably have realised that more, you know, definitely, Felicity and I have spoken about this, like, ever since having kids, it's like we grieved again.
Yeah,
We were totally fucking ripped off here.
You were.
And you just go, they should have a grandma. We should have a. We could be friends with our mum now. Like our friends with their mum.
Yes.
We're never going to get that.
And it's funny because I remember that's the only downside of having, you know, having a mum that was so like, oh, just get on with it,
Yeah.
But I remember when I sort of fell in a heap after I had my second child, I saw a psychologist and she said, you know, it's okay to feel sad for yourself sometimes. Yes. You don't always have to be
so
strong
true.
And say, but there's always, she said, there's always going to be someone off you, often you, always. It doesn't matter who you are.
It doesn't change your story, though. You're still allowed to feel
it's
vulnerable.
Like, so don't, you know, just it's not wallowing in self-pity if you actually just want to feel
a sign of weakness.
My mum's mum died when I was 3. So, and mum was young when she had me. So I think maybe about 24 or something. And I just grew up with her always saying, so and so is going out for lunch with their mum, and so and so is doing this with their mum. And she, I just, you know, and I never knew my nana. I just don't know those things about her.
Yep.
And there's a big hole.
Yeah.
It is a big gaping hole.
Yeah. But that's why Liz and I so lucky to have each other as well.
Yes. We really are.
You know, obviously we don't really care for our brothers because we don't know if they're doing their breast tests. But, they're all in hospital. They might all be going through chemo, who knows? No, we are very close.
We're not making meal trains for them.
Yeah. That's why we haven't seen them in so long. They're bloody going through breast cancer. No, but having each other obviously has been like having a mother and a sister. And, you know, as I said before, we lived down three doors down from each other when we had cancer and when we had babies. So that's really helped us. And we had that, we're lucky.
So lucky that I feel like when Felice, I was living there and then Felice, you know, this house came up. And it was just like, it was like Dubai or whatever. And it was like, oh my, like, I feel like, I reckon mum was just like, maybe, you know, someone's looking down and it's going, you guys are going to need each other much more now.
Oh,
you know, having babies and you got sick and then, and then Phyllis left me and moved.
How dare she?
A kilometre away.
I moved a whole kilometre away.
Yeah. Well, at least it's not six. So
you're in
you
your 5K zone and you can walk with each other.
Yes.
And...
Yes.
Oh my another thing that we think was prepared pre-COVID that I only moved 1 kilometre.
Yes.
How have you managed remote learning? Because we know that's tricky for our families.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's been – oh, look, actually, the Tommy's at a mainstream school with Felice's two other – and Alice and Felice's two other kids.
Yep.
And they have been – this second lockdown, particularly unreal. Like online, you know,
the school has,
you know, like they've just, so that first was a lot harder, and especially having like Tommy, you know, I was just more concerned about. Oh my god, he's already hard, and it's hard already. Yes. I mean, we just had to become full time teachers.
We did, we all did.
You know, as you know, it's just, it was hard. God,
so hard.
It's the hardest thing we've ever done.
It was,
Who would choose to homeschool?
Who? I know. We have so much respect for those people, but I just.
I don't know. I just. I don't have respect. I have disrespect. Because why would you
but they
do that?
They very proudly tell us that it's different because they set the tone and the pace.
And they said you don't have to go Microsoft Teams or Google Classrooms or. I know it's different, but I get energy. This sounds terrible from being away from my children from time to time. So having spent so much time with them in the last 6 months, it's exhausting.
Oh, God,
yeah.
So we're not made for this. No one's supposed to live like this.
No, you are not supposed to live like this. So anyway.
Like even in the cave times, I'm sure the kids weren't hanging out in the cave
vault. Well, the 15-year-olds were not just in their bed all day.
No.
They were out. Yes. They were hunting or they were whatever they were doing.
Well, they're supposed to be trying to sneak cigarettes down the back of the oval and instead they're.
We're sneaking the cigarettes down the back of the
oval. Oh, so true.
But that's the thing I will say as well, just to go back to our if you could just get somebody to change the entire education system as a result of this little chat.
Yeah.
One thing I do think has been interesting and a good takeaway that maybe hopefully schools might be able to implement is seeing how different kids learn.
Yes.
My daughter, who's neurotypical, she loves social. Same. She needs the social, so she wants to go back. Whereas other kids I've seen, like, you know, Alice. Friends' kids, they're like Alice. She loves homeschooling because she's not distracted, she's independent and all that sort of stuff. So I'd love that if teachers could just add this to their list of things to do when they get back from COVID.
Yeah.
But if, you know, when there's activities that kids, you know, like my middle son who, if there's too much noise, it's just a nightmare.
Yes.
But having things like they do in his school where you have headphones for the kids that need to put them on, and it's not this taboo thing that the nutty kid in the corner needs to wear the headphones. It's like, no.
Anyone.
When these kids do maths, they sit at that table and use headphones because they concentrate better when they do that. But when they do this, they do something
and
else.
It's normalised, you know, for one of the mainstream word, and kids see that. Yeah. Other kids see that as normal. Then they grow up knowing. That's just Teddy does that.
Yeah,
I know.
He has his noise cancelling earphones on in the playground.
Yeah,
yep.
Who cares?
Yeah. Mandy and I always say it's actually not our kids that need to change for the world. The world needs to change for them.
No. Yeah.
And the other kids need to get a little talk at the beginning of the term. you know, and we've got an awesome class this year. We've got someone who's hearing impaired. We've got someone with an intellectual disability. We've got someone with ASD. We've got someone, you know, and all of us learn differently. Some of us need to sit down the front. Some of us need headphones. Some of us have a wobble chair. But we're all here in this together, and it just becomes a part of life because we are all in this together. We go to the footy. We sit near each other, you know. And that's our dream, really. But who knows if we can ever get that to
happen. I would love for my daughter who has cerebral palsy and an intellectual disability that if she – because going to school is physically exhausting for her. So if she has sort of 2 days at home to physically recover, that she can still access WebEx or whatever and still do her learning so that there's – rather than me just giving her days off and she does nothing.
Yes.
So that seems insanity. To me that seems insane.
That has to be able to be.
That hasn't been done.
No, no, but it's an insane system.
Sorry, you've really got us right. Like, my buttons right now.
Well, welcome to the P-Tribe.
I'm going to get up and go, right, what do I need to do?
70 grand, thanks.
Poach the bears.
Oh, God.
Well, yes.
We're big bears and we get angry.
Well, we're really glad to have you in the P-Tribe.
I know, because we feel so frustrated, yes. Yeah. And it's nice to have other people who get it.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe now that I've seen how easy it is for that you can put lessons
I think
on
so.
I think so, yeah.
I think so too.
That might help.
Yeah. Or recording classes. This is what I say because we miss a lot. And then if they could come home and replay the 10 minutes of maths where the teacher explained it, life-changing. Yes. It would be life-changing.
I'm constantly, like, I imagine everyone is in this, you know, on this in this conversation. Like, you've always got a specialist appointment or something that's never, unfortunately, around the corner from your house. It's always so far away. You know,
never in my bubble.
No.
Never in my love bubble. And, you know, and you know, and by and large, it's even though it's in half an hour appointment, Tommy's missed 3 hours of school.
Yeah.
No point getting in.
No, going back.
And some, you know, to sort of have access to go, hey Tommy, when you get home, we'll just quickly run through your core.
Yes.
You know,
that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's that hard. I don't. And I know the teachers are rolling their eyes, going, "We already do enough." I don't want them to have to do it. Some IT guru can come in and set it up. You don't have to do the whole class. You can edit out the bits where you told that kid to be quiet. Just the start. We just want the start of each lesson. I just think it would be unbelievably great for all the kids. And kids who are sick, kids who are in at the Royal Children's Hospital for 6 months waiting for bone marrow transplants, they can just log on.
They can get onto Zoom and see all their friends.
Yes,
that's
they can
probably
say
been amazing for them.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know.
I'm obviously completely glass full optimistic here, but I think this is a better time than any to really push to enact that change because like workplaces where all puzzle pieces are being thrown up and a lot of workplaces we said our work can never be done from home. Everyone has to be in the office. We will be unproductive. And now it has completely changed the way, you know, people are working. And, you know, you kind of go, you know, I think there could be, I mean, we could speak to our principal and go, you know, about that sort of, okay, you've rolled out this sort of learning. Is there an opportunity like you're suggesting of like, you know, whatever? And I don't think, you know, it could be something to go, let's do it now, let's throw it really on top.
Yeah, that's right. I agree.
Before we all fall back into what we did before and then go, no, it's too hard now. We don't have time for that.
Well, particularly here in Melbourne, we're not going back to the old Mandy and Kate.
No.
We're not. We're forever changed from this pandemic. So, and our children are significantly.
Yes, they are. And I just think if you're listening to this, teachers and educators, and I know you are, you can change it at your school. You can be the school. And if you want to have that little point of difference on your poster that Barry Plant sponsors, you can write. We record some of the classes. You can go and watch. I'm telling you, game changer.
Oh, you'll be inundated.
You'll be inundated. And if you're a private school, you've got to give money to Mandy and I for this and these sisters.
We kind of help.
So you heard it here first.
An add-on for them that the next year they can go, oh, we've already got all these pre-filled things. We
see, come on.
Instead of the 37-degree heated pool.
Yes, who cares about that? We got this. Listen, you need to listen to the middle-aged women because they fucking know.
We changed the world, middle-aged women.
Yeah, we know everything.
We do.
Or if there's any PhD Deakin students, maybe you could do it as a thesis.
Oh, maybe you could. Yes. Very, very smart.
Yeah. We should probably wrap up. We probably should.
I've got brains too.
Have we missed anything? Have we missed anything that you would like to tell the world about your story?
No, the only thing I'll say is that since that Liz opened up a breastfitting business.
Tell us.
You should use this as a good
plug. Yes.
She's terrible at marketing.
Tell us. We'll find your pages.
Well, and then say email us all your links and we'll put it in the show notes and then we'll tag you in our Instagram and Facebook and everything.
Yes.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. That'd be unreal. Yeah. And also we also say that if there's anybody out there, like we've had people contact us, friends of ours who said, can I get so-and-so to ring you because she's going through.
Yes.
She's got to make this decision or whatever.
She's got a kid.
She's got a child that's on the spectrum or she doesn't know what to do because he's really acting out, he's five, whatever. Yeah. We're happy to talk to anyone. Yeah. We're open book. So, you know, if there are people out there who are like, oh, you know, I don't know whether to have that mastectomy or what happened when you had chemo, Liz has gone and had coffees with people and, you know, because, you know, everybody's story.
Well, I just think you've got to You can't go through all this shit and not be able to help other people.
Well, you know what I'm thinking? You need a bloody podcast.
You do need a podcast.
Yeah, but our work call is two peas in a pod, T-W-O.
Two boobs in a podcast.
In a podcast. It's two boobs in a podcast for sure.
Think about it
because if we can do it, anyone can do it. Because
you get a community that needs it.
Yeah, and thinking about reaching people that don't have access. Yeah. Anyway, no pressure. Yeah. But, you know, pressure. If you start one, we'll pump
Once
it
you've
out.
Changed the education system, then you can think about that.
We've got so many things to do.
We're
meeting with the education minister.
Busy afternoon, but
That's
after
right.
that.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Well, thank you so much for coming on our humble little podcast.
Our pleasure. It was lovely. We
love to talk about ourselves.
Yeah, so do we.
Yeah. If anyone else out needs us to talk about any topic, we'll do it.
Maybe meet you in person when COVID ends.
Yeah, we would love to meet you.
Yes, we'll have a coffee.
Yes, we'd love to.
That would be really, really great.
Thank you so much.
Ooh, yes, thank you.
Okay.
All right. See you.
Okay.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites,
according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.